In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're going to continue our story about Joseph and his brothers, and particularly about Judah's plea. Now, the text is Genesis 44, 18 through 34, and we're going to go through that text in somewhat detail. But first, E.A. Elam has some helps and hints for the teachers, and that's where our attention will be turned in just a moment. We're looking at a Sunday school lesson prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of June the 20th, 1926. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now, our attention is turned to the hints and helps for the teachers. In order to understand this lesson, which is Judah's speech, it is necessary to know some of the preceding facts. In the last lesson, we left Joseph bound in prison. He may have been at chains at night and loosed in the day, since all the prisoners were committed to his hand. Pharaoh's chief butler and chief baker, for some cause not stated, were cast into prison after Joseph. Each one of them had a dream on the same night, and Joseph interpreted to each one his dream. The interpretation of the butler's dream was that in 3 days he would be liberated. The interpretation of the baker's dream was that in 3 days he would be hanged. Joseph told the chief butler that he had been stolen away from the land of the Hebrews and in Egypt, and he had done nothing for which to be put in prison. And he asked the chief butler to do him the favor, when liberated, to make mention of him to Pharaoh, and to have him set free. The chief butler, elated with his own freedom, forgot his obligations and promises to Joseph. Joseph remained yet in prison for 2 full years. What transpired in Joseph's history during these 2 years, if anything, has not been recorded. At the end of these 2 years, Pharaoh had 2 dreams which served to exalt Joseph. First, the 7 fat and well-favored cattle devoured by 7 lean and ill-favored ones. Then, the 7 rank and good ears of corn upon one stalk swallowed up by the 7 thin and blasted ears. When Pharaoh awoke in the morning, his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. The chief butler then remembered his neglect of Joseph, the promise he had not fulfilled. He spoke to Pharaoh of Joseph, related his and his banker's experience, and said that all came to pass as Joseph had said. Joseph was at once sent for and brought out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh stated why he had sent for him. Joseph said, "It is not in me. God will give an answer to the dream." Thus Joseph gave glory to God and led Pharaoh to expect help from God. Pharaoh then stated his dreams. Joseph said, "The dream of Pharaoh is one about God. What God is about to do, he hath declared unto Pharaoh." The dream was repeated to impress upon Pharaoh the fact that the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. The 7 good kine and the 7 good ears both represent 7 years of plenty. the seven lean and ill-favored kine, and the seven empty ears blasted by the east wind, both represent 7 years of famine. First, there were to come the 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. After them, there were to follow 7 years of famine, and all the plenty would be forgotten, and the famine would consume the land. The ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine devoured the well-favored and fat-fleshed ones, and were still as lean as before, is a strong figure, which shows how sore the famine was. Then Joseph said, all the plenty would be forgotten because of the distress of the famine. To whatever natural cause all this abundance and famine may be attributed, like the yearly and unusual flow of the Nile during the seven plenteous years, and the absence of this unusual overflow causing the famine, God overruled it all and did it all. The famine was general and not due to local causes. God is yet the author of all good, and whom he loves, he chastens. To him we should ascribe all praise for the abundance of land today, and thank him for his chastisement in times of drought. In this, as in all things, Joseph showed his sagacity and his statesmanship, his practical ability, and above all, his trust in God by the advice he offered Pharaoh. Joseph then advised as follows. Now therefore let Pharaoh look at a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint overseers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of these good years that come, and lay up grain under the hand of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it, and the food shall be in store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. Not a man questioned a word Joseph said in regard to this whole affair. Acting upon Joseph's suggestion, Pharaoh asked his servants if there could be found for that purpose such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is. Since Joseph was a prisoner, we may safely infer that his past history was examined and he was found blameless, or that he was at once adjudged guiltless because of the wisdom and power to declare the future. Little did Joseph think of receiving this appointment, but the day was now breaking upon him, and his prison gloom was dawning in the light. His patience and faithfulness had led to their sure reward. His faithfulness in little things, from a child until that day, had prepared him for this stupendous work. What would have become of Joseph had he yielded to the desires of Potiphar's wife, or had he failed to do otherwise to his duty? Pharaoh reasoned well. For as much as God has shown thee all this, there's none so discreet and wise as thou. He recognized the superiority of God over the gods of Egypt, and the superiority of Joseph over the magicians of Egypt. Pharaoh exalted Joseph, placing him over all his house, that is, over the palace, the ministers, the officers, and the kingdom, and over all the land of Egypt. Only in the throne was Pharaoh greater than Joseph. Pharaoh put his signet ring upon Joseph's hand, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck, and made him to ride in the second chariot. All this expressed Joseph's authority. Joseph went about this great work in a methodical way, giving it his personal attention. Joseph But Pharaoh gave to Joseph an Egyptian name and an Egyptian wife. This marriage was blessed with the two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Joseph had been 13 years a prisoner before his exaltation, so he named his firstborn Forgetfulness, the meaning of Manasseh, for God had caused him to forget his toil and sorrow. And God made him fruitful in the land of his affliction. So he named his second son Fruitfulness, the meaning of Ephraim. Forgetfulness of toil and sorrow came first, and fruitfulness followed. During the 7 years of plenty, Joseph was busy preparing for the famine. The famine extended over all the face of the earth. All countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, and the sons of Israel came to buy among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed themselves to him with their faces to the earth. Several times it is stated that his brethren did this. Joseph's dreams, the fulfillment of which his envious brothers took every precaution to prevent, were being literally fulfilled more than 21 years after he related them. Although Joseph's brethren did not know him, he recognized them instantly. He also remembered his dreams. He spoke roughly with them, asking whence they came, and accused them of being spies. They truly denied being spies and frankly stated that they were 12 sons of one man in the land of Canaan. The youngest was at home and one was not. And they had come to buy again. That they might prove their story true, Joseph said he would keep them in prison until one could return and bring the youngest brother. But after keeping them 3 days in prison, he said he feared God, and if they were true men, he would keep only one in prison, and allow the rest to return with the grain for their families, but that they must bring their youngest brother and verify their words, or be put to death. With guilty consciences, they confessed among themselves their sin in selling their brother, not knowing that Joseph understood them, for he had used an interpreter. Reuben said, "Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore also, behold, his blood is required." Joseph turned about from them to some convenient place and wept. Simeon was bound before their eyes and kept in prison as a pledge of their return with their youngest brother. Joseph kindly provided food for their journey and ordered their money returned to them, and having it placed in the mouth of every man's sack, they were greatly surprised when they saw their money thus returned and wondered what it could mean. Upon reaching home, they related to their father the strange and sad occurrences with them in Egypt, much to his distress. He said they had bereaved him of his children, first Joseph, next Simeon, and now they would take Benjamin. Reuben assured his father that his two sons might be slain if he did not return to Benjamin. Safe from the trip to Egypt, Joseph refused to allow Benjamin to go, saying, "If harm befall him by the way in which ye go, then will ye bring my gray hairs with sorrow unto Sheol." But when the grain brought from Egypt had been consumed, and the famine had become sore in the land, Joseph requested his sons to go again and buy a little food. Again it was told him by Judah, this time, but the man in Egypt had solemnly protested that he should see his face no more, and yet his youngest brother be with them, still contending that they had dealt ill with him to want to take Benjamin or to let the man know there was such a son. Jacob, urged by hunger and persuaded his sons, consented to Benjamin's going. We'll finish this story and go to the lesson in next class.